Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We've got a great selection of video game music lined up for you, so I hope you enjoy. It's got some fun ones in them and I think from very energetic, bright and colorful games. So have a listen and hope you enjoy. Okay. So, what's going to be our first song? Well, the song I'm going to play you is actually a song that piece of music from a classic game that I always kind of liked, and a lot of other people liked it too. Seriously, I've seen people on the internet, and they seem to have a really strong appeal to this song. So I listened to it, I always wanted to play it on the show, because of course it was a good piece of video game music, and you know, this is, you know, and I wanted to play good video game music on the show, but I ran into the slight problem that when I actually listened to this song, I didn't find it quite that good. I mean, it was nice, it was really good, but just a bit too repetitive and stuff. And so I kind of, you know, tabled it for then until recently I heard a remix of it. Now, I've talked about remixes before. A lot of people grew up on a lot of great video game music, and a lot of them was very, you know, chippy and synthesized and made with basic hardware, and that was fine. It created some great melodies, but people wanted to make it more. And any song or classic video game track has been can just be expanded into a whole load of instrumental stuff using high quality audio. I think I've talked previously about Howard Drossen, and he was an actual game composer who decided he wouldn't wait for like several years until like other fans remixed his tunes. He just went out with a live band and just got the full versions of those songs recorded himself. But this track is from a game called Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, if you think you know what game that I'm talking about, remember there are actually three video games called Sonic the Hedgehog. One, of course, was the original Sonic the Hedgehog, the first game released in 1991 that brought our blue hedgehog into our eyes. The second one was the abysmal Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, which was going through the annoying trend where someone tries to reboot a franchise and then use the exact same name as the first game in the franchise. They've done that with Devil May Cry, Tomb Raider. It's just annoying. But unfortunately, Sega's attempt to reboot this franchise with Sonic 2006 was met with utter not goodness. We can talk about that game. I actually still haven't... Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But no, the Sonic the Hedgehog I'm talking about is the 8-bit version, and we say it to distinguish from the 16-bit version because, you know, that's the different technology of the platforms at the time. Sonic the Hedgehog 8-bit was released on the Sega Master System, which was released before the Mega Drive, and also the Sega Game Gear, which was the handheld portable console that Sega made to compete with the Game Boy. Now, the first game, obviously, they were trying to make, they had the Sonic series going well on the Mega Drive with Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles, and they were obviously doing their own similar iterations for the actual Game Gear and Master System. Of course, that's not all that's quite to it, and there's more that I could talk about right now, but right now, I want to play music from the second zone in that Sonic the Hedgehog 8-bit called Bridge Zone. What I'll be playing is, actually, as I've said, it's going to be a remix. The remix itself is, was made by a guy called Nico CW, and it is from the Bridge Zone theme, which was originally composed by Yuzo Koshiro. Now, Yuzo Koshiro, I played his music on this show before. He made music for the Game Gear Shinobi and Streets of Rage and Shenmue, so, you know, he's a really accomplished one, and a lot of people really like the Bridge Zone theme, and especially Nico CW did, because he made his own version of it. I'll talk a bit more about it, but right now I think I'm just holding up. Why don't we play Bridge Zone Classic Theme Remix from Generations and have a listen. We'll be right back. And what you've just heard there was the Bridge Zone theme, which was remixed. It's actually called Bridge Zone Classic Sonic Generations Remix by Nico CW from Bridge Zone theme, which was originally composed by Yuzo Koshiro from Sonic the Hedgehog 8-bit version. Now, just to quickly as I was saying earlier, what he's actually done is, if you remember I was talking about Sonic Generations beforehand, it actually takes a lot of levels from previous Sonic games and then creates like a modern version and a classic version with different gameplay with different gameplay for both and different music remixes for both. So what Nico CW did was imagined what if Sonic Generations had taken the Bridge Zone level and then did the same thing with the music for that. And so he basically composed what he thought would be the classic version of that theme. So it's pretty nice that he's just taking inspiration from the game to affect how he remixes one of the songs from the game. But to continue, so like I said, Sonic the Hedgehog 8-bit was of course for the Game Gear and the Master System. Key difference is because the Game Gear had a built-in screen, you saw much less of the screen, but it was still a very enjoyable game, and with a lot of platforming, bringing your blue hedgehog through a variety of different zones, and a lot of people, you know, liked it, and some people consider it their favourite Game Gear game. I myself consider Triple Trouble to be my favourite, and consider Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Game Gear to be the Game Gear game that most affected me in the largest emotional way possible. And that is a long statement, which I think I may have gone into some details about that when before I took that hiatus a while back and then played the ending tune for that game. But long story short, it was kind of the first Sonic game I ever really played and really got into. But this is Sonic the Hedgehog, as in the game that came before that, was a game that I basically had to rent, get the loan of someone's Master System and console in order to play the game from beginning to end. It's bright. Bridge Zone is definitely remembered for one of its great music tracks, but at the same time, you could see that they're still trying to get to grips with the Sonic thing, because Bridge Zone has what's known as a scrolling zone in it, which kind of doesn't suit the Sonic the Hedgehog thing at all. It's basically where the screen constantly scrolls from left to right at a set pace. No matter how fast you are, you can't actually get through it. And if you just log behind, and the left edge of the screen will start to push you along through the level. It's not exactly a nice fit for Sonic the Hedgehog, which is built on speed and speed runnings and getting through the level as all. And I mean, these days, there's some strong communities that involve trying to get through a Sonic game as fast as possible and see it as a challenge. And the fact that on Bridge Zone, no matter how good you are, you can still get through in a certain time, yeah, it's maybe not the best thing. But still, people remember Bridge Zone for the fun and the good music, and that's the way it goes. The game itself was developed by Ancient, which was interestingly, one of the managers of Ancient, or the manager, was the music composer Yuzo himself, who was, of course, actually the composer of the game's track. So it just goes to show how it's, composers don't just stick to composing, they also can take in a lot of roles, and it's nice that Yuzo managed to get Ancient getting such a, you know, working on such a great title. And apparently, as I said, Yuzo has worked on music from a lot of other Sega games such as Shenmue and Streets of Rage, so obviously he's kept on a few Sega connections. Now, you know, something I should probably say, I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog 8-bit was pretty good. It did some unique things, like for instance, every time you started the level, you'd have a nice map and see where you are. But I always felt that none of the Game Gear games were direct adaptations of the Mega Drive games. In fact, I think I've said this before, but it almost seemed like they ended up half a step behind them, which is kind of weird. It's just like the first game was kind of based off Sonic 1, but then Sonic 2 for the Game Gear was kind of based off of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, but it didn't have Corkscrews or Tails as a playable character. Then you had Sega Chaos, which had Tails as a playable character and Corkscrews and Sonic, but it didn't have the stuff that was from Sonic 3, i.e. Knuckles appearing. And then finally you had Sonic Triple Trouble, which had Knuckles playing, so it was now just like Sonic, which was like Sonic 3, where Knuckles appeared, but he didn't actually get control of him, and that didn't happen until Sonic Blast. So it's just kind of interesting thing I noticed. Alright, so enough of Sonic the Hedgehog. I think I'm going to move on to another game, and this is a game with a very rich music track, but I'll be honest with you about something. I talked about this game before and played music from it before I'd actually played through the whole game itself. I thought that I'd never fully get a chance to play the game the whole way through, but through tireless pursuit and energy and questioning, I finally managed to get this game and play it the whole way through from beginning to end. I am talking about, of course, Katamari Damacy. Fortunately, the last time I talked about this game, I played the main theme, which is definitely one of the most memorable, but thankfully, the song has quite a few memorable tracks, including the one I'm about to play for you now. So, have a listen, and I'll chat to you more about the game after.
daba, di 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 di, daba daba, di 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 di. To my life, let's roll up to be a single star in the sky. I hear you calling me, I wanna word you up into my life. Let's love up to make a single star in the sky to you. I'm so in love with you, I wanna word you up into my life. Let's roll up to be a single star in the sky. I need you to feel me, I wanna word you up into my life. Let's love up to make a single star in the sky to you.
What you've just heard there was Que Sera Sera by Asuka Saki and Natsuki Izaki, with vocals by Charles Kosi. So, as you've heard, it's from the video game Katamari Damacy, which was developed by Namco. I talked about this game before, and essentially you've got this small little ball called a Katamari, and you basically have to roll things up like a snowball in order to create stars. Boy, there is no way I'm going to properly explain this game. Where do I start? So, there's the king of all the cosmos, who's your dad. He goes completely crazy one night and destroys every single star in the sky. He expects you to do absolutely everything because he's a jerk. You basically take the small little ball and start going around in various Japanese locations, from streets to inside rooms to wherever. Anytime you hit a small object, it will stick to that small little katamari. And the more objects stick to it, the bigger it becomes. And the bigger it becomes, you can pick up more items, because you can only pick up items that are smaller than your katamari currently is. You gradually go around, and the king of the whole cosmos will say you need to make it like 50 centimeters big, or a meter big, or 30 meters big. And apparently these sort of sizes are actually how big you need to make things in order to be a star in the sky. This game does not win points for astronomy, but in a world that also has Super Mario Galaxy, it is in very good company. So, that's kind of what the game is. Each level, you've got a specific time limit. You've got to get that katamari. You've got to roll up a lot of small stuff and gradually build your katamari bigger, getting more and more stuff until it goes. At the start, you might be picking up things like thumbtacks and, you know, small little pencils and caramel things and everything. And as you go around, you'll pick up stuff like flutes and cassette tapes. Yeah, there's kind of a retro thing. And you know, maybe frogs or water pistols. And then it starts growing and growing. And suddenly you're rolling, picking up, you know, hi-fi systems and plates and cats, and then you get bigger and bigger, and yes, you do get to the point where you start picking up people as well, and it's just insane. Each level, you just complete the level, go on to the next thing, and it just gets bigger and bigger. Every level that you can grow higher and higher until you're growing an incredibly large amount of stuff, and it's just fun. I mean, it's crazy, it's zany, there's a lot of color and expression in it. And I've also completely run out of time to talk about the rest of the game. So, what I'm going to do is, I've still got one other track from that. I've got two tracks from that game which I want to play in the future. I'll just leave one for now and just go straight to Katamari Love, the ending theme. Now, just to quickly go it, Katamari of Love, the ending theme, is by Yoshiro Yanu and Akiyata, with vocals by Shigeru Matsuaki. And I'm going to play that now, and I hope you enjoy. And I'll talk a bit more about the game in the next show, but for now, have a listen and hope you enjoy. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thanks for listening.
Let's go. 取れた食生活、十分な睡眠時間、日に焼けた肌、乾いた心では一つにはなれない。 Love、 つながりたいんだ、高い壁が立ち塞がっても、 Try、 巻き込みたいんだ、いびつな心は全てを包み込むよ。Say